My advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
Barflies, if you like streaming TV series, tune into the second season of I Have a Stream. With Joey Two Scoops.
I'm just ready for a drink. I don't know about you, man.
Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin.
Show.
Aaron Mikulski.
Well, yeah, but I'm also a bald ginger.
Special Barfly guests.
Oh, shit.
And your host, Tooch.
I haven't figured out what's going on yet.
So join us Friday, January 17th at 7 p.m. Central, where we'll be recapping HBO's The Outsider on Mixer.com. Bears Barroom Radio Network.
The following program is suitable for all ages.
Buffoon. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffoon. A Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our ass whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. I'm playing right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my ass whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffoon 55. The John Buffoon Show.
Hello and welcome to the season finale edition of Buffoon 55. I am your host, John Buffoon, and I'm coming to you live on January 16th over our Bears Barroom live channel on Mixler.com. Why so late for a season-ending recap? Well, I started a new job which has consumed every second of my life since the new year, so I apologize. I've taken off my reporter hat and took on a new role with the federal government as a media specialist. So let's just say that is a whole new world, but I'm glad to be back in the barroom. First things first, I want to welcome my producer and moderator, Alyssa Barbieri. Alyssa, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm going to try my hardest not to pry should the powers that be listening to us right this second.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
No. I know, we've been on a three-week bye week here. I mean, this is going to be interesting.
There's a lot of catching up to do, which is nice because there's a lot of material to go over. I know a lot has happened since the last show. We got plenty to discuss, and joining us a little later to add his perspective is Lauren Cox of NBC Sports Chicago, host of Locked On Bears podcast and a contributor to BearsWire.com. He's going to join us in just a bit, but Alyssa, remind me what we're doing because I kind of forget how this show works.
Absolutely. I mean, I understand that working for the government might cause some memory loss, so I got you, John.
You have no idea.
So we begin and end the show with five questions that you have 55 seconds to respond to. That's John's way of dedicating Buffoon 55 to Doug Buffoon, his uncle who played 15 seasons for the Chicago Bears and wore number 55. So John, let's get the first five in the books and then we'll bring in Lauren.
All right, let's do it.
So Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace had their end of year press conference back on New Year's Eve. What did you walk away with from that presser other than your allegiance to that duo? 55 seconds begins in 3, 2, 1.
Well, that's questionable. But as far as I'm concerned, you can't take too much out of a season-ending press conference, and you really can't read too much into it either. The big thing that came out of this whole thing, the big talking point, the thing that the national pundits grabbed onto was that the Bears are committed to Mitchell Trubisky. But honestly, though, what the hell are they supposed to say? They don't have any quarterbacks on the roster right now. Wouldn't it be kind of dumb to say, well, Mitch isn't guaranteed anything, and then they whiff on everybody in free agency, or they don't draft the guy that they wanted, and then they're stuck with Mitchell Trubisky by himself, and he knows that the franchise isn't 100% behind him. They're not really into it. They are looking for somebody else. That doesn't seem like the right route to go right now. If they plan on bringing in competition, they're not going to say that right now. You don't push your chips in before you see your hand. So, I honestly don't care what they say right after the season. We're in the part of the year where actions are going to speak a lot louder than words.
Yeah, I agree. I don't put much stock into this press conference that happens just days after the end of the regular season. So much can change between then, or actually now, and just a few months from now. You know, like you said, there was an overwhelming emphasis on fixing the offense, and Mitchell Trubisky is at the center of that. Yes, they're publicly committed to him, but, you know, actions will speak louder than words in this instance, so we'll see what Ryan Pace has in store.
Everyone is committed in the National Football League until they're not. So there's, I mean, the contracts aren't guaranteed. Commitment's not guaranteed. Loyalty's not guaranteed. Just let it play out.
And look at the Titans. I mean, hey, if that's what has to happen next year for, you know, the Bears reach the NFC Championship, I mean, I'll take it.
I would be fine with that. Yeah.
So earlier this week, there was actually a couple of hirings on the Bears offensive staff. They hired Bill Lazor to replace Mark Helfrich as the team's offensive coordinator and John DeFilippo as the quarterback's coach. So what are your thoughts on Lazor and DeFilippo? And do you believe that this is a signal that maybe the Bears might be interested in bringing in someone like Andy Dalton or Nick Foles that both of those guys have worked with? You've got 55 seconds.
Oh, people love to put the pieces together. It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Hire Lazor, bring in Dalton. Dalton outshines Mitchell Trubisky and takes over. But wait, the Bears just hired John DeFilippo as the quarterback's coach. DeFilippo was Nick Foles' quarterback coach in Philadelphia. But wait, Lazor was Nick Foles' quarterback coach in 2013 when he threw for 27 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. But wait, where did Nick Foles play in 2016? Kansas City. Who was the offensive coordinator in Kansas City at the time? Matt Nagy. Follow the paper trail. DeFilippo, Lazor, Nagy. Nick Foles is going to be the Bears starting quarterback in 2020. There, I saved all of you all the time. Don't worry, you know exactly what's going to happen. Well, I might be embellishing a bit, but if you want to look at this simplistically, Lazor has a track record of working with and sometimes elevating mid-level quarterbacks like Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill, Nick Foles, and he's not a guy that was going to command play-calling duties, and I think that was big because some of the other guys that they were thinking about bringing in probably wanted to call the plays, and Nagy's not ready to get rid of that.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that, you know, the Bears, you know, bringing in a lot of new voices, you know, to these offensive meeting rooms, I mean, which Matt Nagy's banking on to kind of help turn this offense around, but it can't necessarily be a bad thing at this point, right?
No, I think that's a good group to bring in, but I love conspiracy theories. I love that everything's falling into place. Excellent. we'll just let it play out.
You know, John, this is going to be like the talk for, you know, through free agency.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, we're
in a slow point right now. I mean, until things ramp up next month. But yeah, so now it's just like, I got to, you know, it's like you got to put all these pieces together. Like it's a puzzle and you're going to figure it all out. But come on, it's a higher. Yeah. Yeah. Everything means something. Like everyone's playing chess.
Okay, so sticking with some of the new offensive hires, so our executive producer, Aldo Gandia, has tweeted out that he believes the biggest thing the Bears will do in the offseason to address the team's offensive line woes, they might have already done with the firing of Harry Hiestand and the hiring of Juan Castillo as the new offensive coach. Aldo doesn't know if Castillo is a better coach than Hiestand necessarily, but he thinks the firing and subsequent hiring could be the Bears' biggest response to addressing those problems on the offensive line. What say you, and say it in 55 seconds?
Well, something had to change, right? And they already have so much money rolled into the line already that it seems like the obvious first step would be to fire the coach. I mean, we've talked about this before. The Bears are stuck with some of these guys for at least next year. So you want to try and bring a guy in that can maybe change the course and bring back some of that production that the line had back in 2017. Kyle Long isn't going to be back. So you have Whitehair, Leno, Massey, Daniels, Rashard Coward. I don't know if they can bring in too many free agents on the line given what they have already invested. So this could definitely be a point of emphasis in the draft, but the Bears can go a number of directions in the draft. So I think that they need to build some depth at this position. We'll see if Castillo evaluates this line, sees what he has, and maybe makes some suggestions. But this is the same line for the most part that looked solid 2 years ago. But they need to do something to replace Kyle Long, and they need to find some of that chemistry or mojo or something that they had 2 years ago. So maybe a shakeup in the coaching room is the right start.
Absolutely. And the thing that like immediately stands out with Castillo was his success in the run game. You know, he's been a run game coordinator, you know, so that's obviously one of the biggest issues with this Bears offense. So hopefully having someone like him in there, you know, hopefully that can help get this run game on track.
Well, yeah, they had, like I said, they had to do something, and this was the first step.
So, John, there are four Bears that were named to the Pro Bowl: safety Eddie Jackson, kick returner Cordarrelle Patterson, outside linebacker Khalil Mack, and Kyle Fuller was just added. Your thoughts on those selections, and were they deserving, or were there any, and was there anyone else on the Bears that you would have liked seen make the Pro Bowl?
Absolutely, they were deserving. Khalil Mack's a no-brainer. That kind of speaks for itself. I've gushed over Cordarrelle Patterson all year for his contributions on special teams, not just as a returner, but also as a gunner. The dude's always around the ball. He has made numerous coverage plays in addition to his return game. So Eddie Jackson, definitely deserving. People said that he took a step back in 2019, but I think the bar was set so unfairly high for him that he was also deserving of the extension he just got, as well as the Pro Bowl. Kyle Fuller also deserving. But as for snubs, I got to go Allen Robinson. In an offense that consistently stumbled out of the gate, got up, and then fell down again, Robinson somehow thrived. 98 catches, which is a career high, by the way. 1,147 yards, 7 touchdowns. Allen Robinson was an absolute beast, and I hope the Bears are able to get something done with him sooner rather than later when it comes to a contract extension. He's signed through next year. He'll be 28, but he's going to garner a ton of attention if he hits the open market.
Absolutely, Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, he deserved to make that with everything he's done on special teams between, you know, returning the ball and as a gunner. He was probably the most deserving of all the Bears that made it. And I'm with you, Allen Robinson, a big snub. You know, I know there's, I remember the Chiefs game, there were, like, the Chris Collinsworth was saying, you know, oh, he'd be a number three receiver on this team. You know, no, Allen Robinson, especially what he was able to do in the circumstances he was in with poor quarterback play, and this offense was just abysmal, and he still was able to have a 1,000-yard season. I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, to say that he'd be a third receiver on a team is just, I mean, that sounds like somebody that doesn't watch a whole lot of Allen Robinson play. That's easy to say. Like, you look over the names and you see Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, and Mecole Hardman and Travis Kelce on the Chiefs. You're trying to tell me that Allen Robinson would be third or fourth in that pecking order? Watch him play and then tell me that. I don't buy that.
Yeah, let's see what he can do with, you know, really great quarterback play. I don't know if we'll get to see that.
If he had Patrick Mahomes, yeah, okay. But he's doing this with Mitch Trubisky right now. Jeez.
And so, John, I have one final question before you bring Lauren in. So it's a non-Bears-related question. So what were your thoughts on Monday night's national championship game between Clemson and LSU?
Okay, I think I am either overworked or getting old or a victim of being on the East Coast, because I was watching the game while, you know, laying in bed. I was fully engaged and I fell asleep at halftime. I woke up with like 3 minutes left in the game and it had already been decided at that point. I watched all the highlights afterwards and I hate that I missed it. I was like, geez, how old am I? But this was one of the best seasons of all time for LSU. Heisman Trophy winner and Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff Award, all around incredible season. And honest to God, how can you not love Ed Orgeron? Has there ever been a coach that better embodies his team and I guess the state of Louisiana? He didn't work out at Ole Miss. He didn't get a real shot at USC. Lands at LSU, where a lot of people were underwhelmed by the hire. And he just appears so genuine, so invested. I would 100% want to play for Ed Orgeron. Sign me up. I got some eligibility left. Unfortunately, I don't think I have any cartilage left in my knees, so a scholarship probably isn't in my future. But right now, I'd love to welcome in the host of the Locked On Bears podcast, a compatriot of Alyssa over at BearsWire.com, a writer for NBC Sports Chicago, and an analyst for Pro Football Focus, Lauren Cox. Lauren, we started the season with you, and we thought you'd be the perfect bookend for the show. Thanks for being on. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I appreciate you having me back, and we're in a very different place than we were, 4 months ago when the slate got rolling.
Yeah, you know what? Things change, and they change fast, so I guess this is it might not be as chippery as we were a couple months ago, but we'll try. We'll see what we can do. Lauren, I want to start with the coaching staff. After being named Coach of the Year, winning 12 games his rookie season, Matt Nagy goes 8-8 and is the victim of intense criticism by, you know, fans and the media. You watched the whole season unravel. What was your take on Nagy this year? Was it an ego thing? Was it a personnel thing? A schematic thing? What did you see happen in 2019?
But I see a lot of it as a guy trying to figure something out with the personnel that he had. I felt like quite often he was feeling limited by his quarterback in terms of what types of passing plays he could call. That's why we saw so many curls and so many hitches over and over again. And a lot of these basic passing concepts that are usually mirrored, so it's the same on each side. So your quarterback doesn't have to do a lot of thinking and a lot of processing. And I just get the impression from everything we've seen from Matt Nagy, even before he came into Chicago, he's not a coordinator that if left open to do whatever he wanted, he would just call curls every play. So, I mean, there's some very valid criticisms and frustrations with his tendency to abandon the running game a little bit and to be a little bit too stubborn with putting certain players in square pegs into round holes and maybe not utilizing Tariq Cohen as well as he could have or not getting Cordarrelle Patterson into as many creative situations. But at the same time, I do feel like he was very limited by the injuries at the tight end position and his quarterback and quite often his offensive line as well. So I have some empathy for him, but I also think some of the criticism is valid.
Now, if you were a fly on the wall for some of those meetings between Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as they're discussing the quarterback position, specifically Mitchell Trubisky, what do you think that Nagy is, and I don't want you to speculate too much, but like, what do you think Nagy's thoughts on Trubisky are? Do you believe that the coaching staff thinks this is the guy, or do you think that this is someone being pushed on them saying, we drafted him high, make it work?
That's of course the million-dollar question, and none of us know for sure, but it's hard because when we talk about, like, you know, ego for coaches, a lot of times they'll get this young quarterback prospect that has all the potential in the world and they feel like, I can be the guy to unlock this. I can be the guy to make him into a championship quarterback. And with Nagy, I don't know, I get the impression that given how the play calling has sort of shifted down a little bit to a lower level of complexness and simplicity, I wonder how much he, I mean, you know, I think he does see the flashes, and I think he's genuine in feeling like Mitchell Trubisky can be better and can be something, but technical
difficulties. Lauren, you're back on with us.
Oh yeah.
Obviously not the season that David Montgomery wanted, neither Bears fans wanted David Montgomery to have. Were you disappointed in him or disappointed in his use? And moving forward, how do they maximize his productivity?
I blamed a lot of the running game struggles on the offensive line, and there were still things that David Montgomery could have done better. There were plays when he needed to be he was kind of interesting because there were plays where he needed to be more patient, and there were plays where he needed to be more decisive. And it felt like he was always close, but it was never quite there at the exact perfect timing. And it felt to me like as the season went on, that timing got even better, and he got a little bit more comfortable with that feel of his offensive line, where, you know, when you first come in, you're still getting used to, okay, how quickly does Cody Whitehair drive off of the ball at the snap? You know, how quickly does Bobby Massey move laterally if you're trying to read that block heading on the outside zone? And just kind of getting a sense for how your guys move, how quickly they get off of double teams. And I think that was a learning process for David Montgomery as the year went on. And, of course, as he got used to the offensive game. So I would like to see Matt Nagy be a little bit more, I guess, consistent in terms of the play calls and in terms of kind of not putting too much on David Montgomery's plate. You know, I look at Bill Lazor coming in from the Bengals. He was a guy that didn't do a lot of run plays with pulling offensive linemen. Not a lot of power, not a lot of counter, just more downhill inside zone and your duo man blocking, just hand it off, run the guy up the middle and let the running back really kind of make the read from there rather than forcing him to go through one gap that the linemen are pulling into that for the Bears too often this season got congested. So I'd like to see David Montgomery have a little bit more flexibility in that regard. I'd like to see more of a commitment to the running game and a little bit less predictable in terms of formation usage where it's two tight ends and you're under center. The majority of the time the Bears were running the ball, whereas spreading it out in shotgun, of course, they were going to follow that tendency and pass. So Nagy can do better. The offensive line can certainly do better, and Montgomery can do a little better too.
We're talking to Lauren Cox, host of the Locked On Bears podcast and about 9 million other websites. We'll get to that later. But I'm assuming that you feel Ryan Pace should be working on a long-term deal with Allen Robinson. And if you don't, tell us why. And furthermore, what are your thoughts on this stable of wide receivers they have? Could we see some different faces as far as, or could we see some people leave? Could we see Taylor Gabriel out of Chicago? Could we see, Ridley move up? Or what's your take on the wide receiver core right now?
Yeah, this season was definitely huge for Allen Robinson's long-term prospects. Just seeing, you know, a season fully healthy. It really felt like last year there was still some sort of setbacks and recovery from the ACL tear where he just wasn't quite 100% Allen Robinson. And this year we really saw it so much closer to what Allen Robinson can be. And like you guys talked about, he did it all with some limitations at the quarterback position, which just made it all the more impressive. So definitely on board with a potential contract extension there. As far as the whole receiving core goes, I wouldn't be surprised to see them move on from Taylor Gabriel. But outside of that, and I think Anthony Miller's ready to step into that more that number two role, and there's a lot of value from Javon Wims as well. And it feels like a position that we want to see more, and it would be fun to see, you know, a better, truly dominant speed threat. Maybe what you thought Taylor Gabriel could be, but he just wasn't able to stay healthy and not able to be as consistent as you would have liked. But you know, it'd be fun to add one of those guys that can really take the top off. But when I look at like prioritizing what this Bears team needs, as much as it'd be fun to have a little bit better wide receivers, it falls so much farther down for the priorities for me. You know, quarterback needs to be better. Offensive line needs to be better. You need tight ends that can produce in any way, shape, or form. You could use more pass rush. You got to get another starting right guard and then maybe another starting safety too. So, you know, maybe that's a draft pick, you know, a fun prospect that's just a true athlete that you kind of you make the rest of it work later. But I wouldn't expect a crazy big investment there just because they've put so much investment there in recent years.
And let's get a little X and O's here. Can you put into words the importance of the tight end position in Nagy's offense? And was that a big factor in why things continued to sputter throughout the season? Because quite frankly, they got nothing out of the tight end possession. Trey Burton was hurt most of the year. Adam Shaheen seems like that's just a bust of a pick. And then you go the whole way down to, you know, Jesper Horsted towards the end of the year. How important is the tight end position in this offense?
So the tight end position is obviously critical in what Matt Nagy wants to do. And I see a little bit of criticism for Nagy in the sense that if, you know, to address, you know, if you know tight end is a problem, maybe try and make, adapt your offense a little bit better to where it's less necessary. And it really took, I think, until the end of the season for Nagy to get out of his wanting to make tight end happen in this offense when it just wasn't going to this year, because it really is that middle of the field threat that's so important. You don't necessarily need Travis Kelce to catch 7 catches for 100 yards every game for this style of offense to be successful, but you need the defense to respect that threat and either, you know, give all that attention to Kelce and make you throw it elsewhere or don't, and then the tight end is able to eat those yards. But when you have somebody who can suck in the linebackers and suck in the safeties just a little bit more, it opens up the seams to be able to take some of those vertical shots. It opens you up to the outside. You know, you can have your slot receiver do so much more damage. That's what you see the Chiefs get so much production out of. Seemingly, whoever they want to line up at the slot. Mecole Hardman gets big plays. Robinson gets big plays downfield. Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. Obviously, those guys have a lot of speed as well. But Travis Kelce just takes so much attention in that middle of the field that there's more room on the outsides for everybody else. And in conjunction with that, he's having a tight end that is also a threat in the running game and the passing game to make defenses truly not know what you're going to do with that player and to have to match the personnel to go with it, to where you have that tight end of the game, so they have to match him up with a linebacker, and then that's one less effective defender in coverage. So you can put two tight ends on the field, get their base defense, and if you can throw out of that with effective receivers at the tight ends, those are plus matchups. Whereas if you have tight ends that just aren't really a threat in the passing game, if you're in a passing situation, the teams can still come out in their nickel defense and not really be worried about what your tight ends are going to do and just add more coverage for all your other receivers. So it was a detriment to the Bears offense this season. It made Matt Nagy's job a little bit easier, a little bit more difficult, but I also would have liked to see him do a little bit more to try and make up for that and find space elsewhere.
Let's switch sides of the ball where things are a little more comfortable. Looking over the defense, how can Chuck Pagano get this unit back to the level that they played in 2018? Specifically, you know, Khalil Mack becoming the dominant force that he was. Not to say that he didn't play well this year, but he didn't have that, you know, transformational kind of season or play that we were used to. And, you know, Eddie Jackson turning the ball over. What needs to be done there? Or was this, you know, kind of a season of attrition where guys were just kind of dropping off?
Well, to some extent, it was going to be really hard to match the exact level that they did last season. And they did still finish as a top 10 defense statistically and top 5 in a lot of categories as well. So it was far from a bad season. And I know you weren't saying that, but some people feel like, oh, man, the Bears defense was the shell of itself. And no, it was still really good and did a lot in spite of not having a lot of help on the scoreboard. But to me, there was an inconsistency in the pass rush that was missing so much from 2018. And you could point a lot of that to Akeem Hicks no longer not being healthy for the majority of this season. But I thought Leonard Floyd wasn't as productive. To some extent, Khalil Mack wasn't as productive, but still had a very strong season. And they just weren't getting, you know, they didn't have that other guy. They didn't, you know, like last year, you know, you had Bilal Nichols starting to show out a little bit and have a breakout season. You had Roy Robertson Harris flashing a little bit more. And this year, outside of Nick Williams, that was about it. And Nick Williams was a great development this season. I don't know whether he'll be back or not, depending on what his price range is going to be. But they need more help at the pass rush position. They need somebody in there that can rotate with Leonard Floyd to really make an impact in the pass rush. Aaron Lynch just not consistently getting it done. I'd like to see them either invest in that rotational edge piece or get another guy in the draft. You know, it doesn't have to be an early pick, but just somebody that can be that specialist on third down. You can loop him around, do something with him, and get after the quarterback. And I think if you do that and you keep Akeem Hicks healthy and Khalil Mack healthy and get a little bit more from your interior guys, I think then you'll have more opportunity for the secondary to play a little bit more aggressive, get their hands on some more footballs, and you're back to more like that 2018 formula.
You know, you talked a little bit about Leonard Floyd. The Bears picked up his option year for a little over $13 million. What do you think Ryan Pace ultimately does with Leonard Floyd? I mean, could we see him, you know, play out his last season in Chicago in 2020 and then just hit the open market?
It's tough because the Bears seem to be genuinely pleased with what Leonard Floyd has done on the field. The outside linebackers coach has raved about him. Of course, Pagano and Ryan Pace rave about him. And that's kind of in the MO for Floyd's career. It feels like they've been, it feels like they're trying to intentionally build him up publicly and show all this support so he feels good and that he's not, you know, he might be a guy that needs more of that positive reinforcement rather than being super critical every time he messes up. But to Floyd's credit, he's been very good against the run, much improved in that area. That was a huge weakness of him coming out of the draft, and he's been above and beyond my expectations there. And he's been solid in coverage as well. I mean, he's able to drop back and let Khalil Mack rush the passer, but you need more than just a couple of sacks a season from Leonard Floyd. You need him to, he doesn't have to be a double digit every year kind of guy, but you can't be sitting here at 3 and 4.5 and, you know, not getting that true, you know, dominant production. And it's not just the sacks, but it's the rate of pressure that he's getting after the quarterback. He's not getting enough quarterback hits. He's not getting enough quarterback pressures, and he's not bringing down the quarterback enough either. So he's not a guy that I would want to pay $13 million a year. You know, you save the top money for the guys that really get after the quarterback, whereas Floyd is kind of building himself in to be more like what Sam Acho used to be for the Bears, which is valuable and one of those fabric guys, as Shane Marsaw would say in the defense. But you don't pay fabric guys, you know, eight figures in the tens of millions of dollar range.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's going to be a big decision whether or not they're happy with that production and paying a premium value on him. That's something that is going to, that's going to be a decision that's going to be have to be made sooner rather than later. Lauren, I want to play a little crystal ball prediction game here. I have a list here of some defensive players for the Bears, and I want you to give, I'm going to go individually down the line. I want you to give me 10 seconds on whether or not the Bears should re-sign or if they will re-sign. So I'm going to start with this. Danny Trevathan, should they re-sign him? Will they re-sign him?
If I'm in charge of the Bears, I probably don't re-sign Danny Trevathan, but I can see where his leadership is so valuable that the team, if the market's okay, I could see the team doing it, but that's going to be the toughest decision, that position right there.
How about Ha Ha Clinton-Dix? Is he back with the Bears? Should he be back?
I probably wouldn't, just because of being able to put Eddie Jackson more at a natural position and not have to make him play so much near the box. But Ha Ha seems to be giving every indication on social media that he wants to be back and is interested in being back. And Chuck Pagano didn't seem to think it was a problem making both of those two work. So if the price is right, I can see it happening.
How about Sherrick McManus? I mean, he's flashed. He's shown some value. But is he gonna price himself out of Chicago?
I don't think Sherrick McManus is ever in quite a leverage standpoint to price himself out of Chicago. I would absolutely sign him back. Elite special teams player. He can play safety. He can play slot cornerback. But this does feel like one of those things where eventually the Bears just for some reason decide to move on and go with somebody younger. But I wouldn't do that, and I hope they don't. But it could be the case where they're just ready to say, Duke Shelley, DeAndre Houston Carson, you're up.
You talked a little bit about him in the last question, but Aaron Lynch, is he going to come back? Should he be back?
I don't think he should be back, and I don't think he will be back. He's a guy that sometimes effort has been an issue with him on tape. Maybe sometimes being in shape has been an issue with him on tape. And I get the impression the Bears will kind of let him go do his thing, and they'll look elsewhere for pass rush help.
Were you surprised he was back this year? Because I kind of was, and it just seemed like, oh, we need some depth outside. Let's just go ahead and bring Lynch back. Were you surprised he was back this year?
Yeah, I mean, part of it was that he was a little bit more affordable. You know, he wasn't commanding a top salary. Was it just like $1.5 million? So, they figure bring him back, let him compete with Isaiah Irving and some of the other young guys at training camp. And if he was good enough, then keep him. And he happened to be better than everybody else because they really didn't have anybody else. But yeah, it felt like they tried to address so many positions last season and couldn't throw all the money in the world at every spot. So they kind of had to settle for Lynch and mixed results.
Well, how about Nick Williams? You think he's back in Chicago? Should they re-sign him?
I think they definitely should, but sometimes sack numbers can be a little bit inflated and he can convert that into a big deal somewhere else. Like, I'm not ready to make Nick Williams my every down starter necessarily. I mean, he plays really well and I would still want him in the rotation, but I think sometimes the sacks thing was a little bit more right place, right time, and just luck. Where he did a good job on the pass rush, but he happened to be the guy that got to bring down the quarterback on the play, and where overall his rate of pressure was still good, but it wasn't like elite. So I'm a fan of Nick Williams. I pay him a decent amount, but if a team wants to really bid high on him, let him go.
I saved the two, I think, for me, the trickiest. I've saved this, the two trickiest for the last. I'm going to start with Kevin Pierre-Lewis. Is he back? Sure to be back.
Well, I feel like you can only re-sign one of Trevathan, Kwiatkowski, and Kevin Pierre-Lewis because Roquan Smith's going to start next to them and everybody else is going to want to be a starter somewhere. So if it's me, I thought Kevin Pierre-Lewis played the best out of the three this season, but I don't know that we've seen him play at this level for an extended period of time. So if it's up to me right now, I'm leaning elsewhere and not letting him go. And I have a feeling the Bears would likely rather reward one of their own in Trevathan or Kwiatkowski rather than Kevin, the new guy, automatically get the big extension.
And yeah, that's a perfect segue. I appreciate you not already answering the question. Kwiatkowski's the last guy. Should they re-sign him? Will he be back?
See, I've been a big Kwiatkowski fan for a long time. I think he's improved his instincts in coverage. I think his mobility issues in terms of lack of speed are a little bit overblown. He's not as fast as a lot of linebackers, but not many linebackers can keep up with running backs out of the backfield as is. So he does so well at all of the other things. Kwiatkowski is the guy I would bring back. I think Ryan Pace will be incentivized to want to reward one of his own draft picks. And if any of the three will come back not at a starter salary, they will grab them and grab multiple of them. But at this point, I have no idea which one the Bears are going to prioritize.
Yeah, and I'll be the first to say I was a big Kwiatkowski critic for a couple years, and then I've seen his game evolve. Now, his sideline-to-sideline speed's never going to be elite. You can't really increase that, but I think his instincts have gotten better. He's becoming a sure tackler, so that might be the guy they bring back. And I lied. I actually do have another name on here. I forgot about Deion Bush. Is Deion Bush going to be back in Chicago?
That's a tough one because he's probably looking for somewhere he can go to start. And if the Bears do this safety-by-committee thing and make it a competition, I think Bush will be back, but if they find another haha Clinton Dix and it's like this guy is our starter, if you're Deion, I feel like you've gotten your opportunities here and you're not really having a lot of room to move up. So I wouldn't surprise me if he plays elsewhere next year, unless the Bears really hold like an open, strong safety competition with just throwing a lot of bodies without a real star power.
Now, I understand you're going to be down in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Can you share a name or two that you think the Bears might be especially interested in scouting in, or one or two guys that you think the Bears should take an interest in while they're down there?
Well, maybe my Wisconsin bias will come in here, but outside linebacker Zach Bond is a guy I'm going to be watching very closely. He's drawing comparisons, and I don't like to do it, to the last Wisconsin outside linebacker to come out of the draft, Joe Schobert for the Cleveland Browns, who's really had a strong start of his career. He's kind of, he played the true edge position at Wisconsin, but might be able to play a little bit more of that off-ball linebacker. But he can be kind of a hybrid guy. Think kind of like Hassan Reddick from, I believe he went to Temple, but plays for the Arizona Cardinals. Just an all-around athlete who can get after the quarterback. He can drop back into coverage. He can cover the run. And he just really does seem to do a lot of different things well. He can win in a lot of different ways. Is pretty sound from a technique standpoint, but has some of that upside to really kind of take his game to the next level and be able to add a little bit more to his pass rush repertoire and also affect the defense from a number of different positions. So he's a guy I definitely have my eye on from the defensive side of the ball. And then, I mean, I could really default and say any of the quarterbacks, but I want to see Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma just because he kind of gets a bad rap for how things ended at Oklahoma, and he's sort of perceived as, well, maybe he's not good enough as a passer, but I really think he's getting a little bit underrated in that regard when for quite a while he was in the Heisman conversation, and I'm looking forward to seeing his stock kind of pick back up and maybe get out of the Bears draft range.
Oh, we all know Aldo will be watching Jalen Hurts. That's his boy right there. But Alyssa, how's the mob in the chat room behaving? Do they have any questions for Lauren?
They do. Hey, how you doing, Lauren?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I got two questions for you before we let you go. So you were just talking about some of the prospects you're looking forward to seeing at the Senior Bowl. So what about Saturday's East-West Shrine Game? Are there anyone that you're interested in seeing?
Well, I've been keeping an eye on actually the quarterback that the Bears have been talking to, the one from Florida International, whose name is escaping me right off the top of my head, and I'm trying
James Morgan.
Thank you. I was trying to look it up on my phone while I was talking to you, and I couldn't quite get the letters typed fast enough. Yeah, Morgan is a guy who has quite a bit of arm talent, a guy who I think has flown under the radar, but is kind of going to be that popular, you know, that popular sleeper quarterback pick. But he's had to move around a little bit through his college career, but he's been pretty consistent at multiple schools. He's been able to, you know, he's been able to win with a variety of different systems that he's kind of worked through. And yes, he is a Wisconsin kid, so maybe there's not the university, but the state. So maybe I'm a little bit biased on him, but I'm definitely keeping my eye on a lot of different quarterbacks. But outside of him, I haven't been following too closely on all the East-West Shrine. I haven't been down there watching the practices, but I imagine we'll see a couple players from that game elevated to the Senior Bowl when this week is done, and I'll be looking at them pretty closely.
If I recall, Morgan is from Green Bay specifically, so that should go over well.
It's actually Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin, which is very close to Green Bay, yes.
Okay. So our last question before we let you go. So, you know, we've been talking about obviously recapping this season. Very disappointing, not what we were expecting at all. But if you had to pick something that you feel optimistic about heading into 2020, what would you choose?
Boy, that's a good question. So much, of course, hinges on the quarterback position. But I feel optimistic about the Bears' ability to turn some of the things around, at least around the quarterback position. It felt like a lot of things that could go wrong did go wrong, with the offensive line not playing as well as they could have and some injuries at wide receiver. And, of course, no resemblance of a tight end production whatsoever. And it feels to me like a lot of those things aren't likely to happen 2 years in a row. They're going to be better at tight end one way or another. They're going to probably get more of a full season of Anthony Miller production rather than him disappearing for the first half and kind of showing up later on. And we'll see Javon Wims maybe take another step forward. And we should see this offensive line get back more to that middle level of production where they were really good in 2018 and really bad in 2019. And somewhere in the middle, they're bound to just regress to the means in a positive direction. So I think there's reason to be optimistic about a lot of different things going on around the quarterback position. And I don't mind any of the coaching hires that they added. I think Bill Lazor and John DeFilippo are smart guys. They haven't always had the most success, but if Matt Nagy can kind of corral everything and squeeze the positives out of everybody and eliminate some of the negatives, there's reason that they can turn some things around offensively.
All right, Lauren, I want to thank you so much for your time. Before we cut you loose, please tell our audience where they can find your work and talk with you on social media. I know you got a laundry list of places you contribute to, so go ahead and lay them all on us.
I'll give you the short version. On Twitter, at CoxSports1, you can hear me every day on the Locked On Bears podcast. You can see my stuff from Pro Football Focus and with Alyssa over on Bears Wire.
That's Lauren Cox, covers the Bears for every media outlet ever invented. So, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show. We hope to talk to you before the season, but in the off season, we're going to talk to you again somewhere down the road, and hopefully we have some more chipper material to talk about.
Hey, anytime, John. I appreciate you and Alyssa having me on.
Thanks so much, Lauren. Second half of our B55 questions.
Let's jump right into it. I'm ready to go.
So first one, John, if you had the opportunity to advise Ryan Pace on how he should prioritize his player acquisition targets this offseason, what would you say? You know, let's start with free agency. You know, name positions and or players that you think that Pace should work to acquire. You've got 55 seconds.
Well, I want to talk about the internal free agents. I know we talked about that with Lauren, but the linebackers certainly need addressed. And if I had to guess, I'm with Lauren. I think the Bears saw enough from Kwiatkowski and Pierre Lewis to not re-sign Danny Trevathan. And that kind of breaks my heart because I've said all year long he's the cerebral leader of the defense and he brings much more than his play on the field to the team. But either way, the linebacking needs addressed. There's going to be some big decisions being made there. I think tight end might be another position that gets targeted. Maybe a guy that's not known for a ton of production, but will be a big target and can be reliable. Maybe somebody like an Eric Ebron, who has caught double-digit touchdowns before, and at least he'd do the job. Ebron, maybe he wouldn't be a playmaker or a gadget guy, but you know he could run a damn route and perform the basic duties that a tight end would have to perform. I know I'm overselling that a bit, but wouldn't that have been nice this year? So I think tight end could be another position.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for like anything on offense, basically. Obviously, quarterback. Like, I'm really curious to see, you know, what they do there. There's so much speculation, like you said, so many connecting of the dots. I feel like they would go more the safe route with like a Case Keenum or even a Marcus Mariota, a guy that wouldn't necessarily be a day one starter, but you know, could compete with Trubisky. And you know, if you know, kind of like what happened to Mariota in Tennessee, you know, if Trubisky again continues to struggle, you know, then you can, you know, insert him in there. And I don't know, hope for magic to take over. But, you know, Teddy Bridgewater has been another guy that, you know, has been tossed around, you know, who he would cost, you know, obviously a lot more, you know, wherever he goes, you know, he is going to demand to be in a starting capacity. So, you know, I guess I'm really curious to see how they address quarterback in free agency because we know it's coming.
Yeah, if they get Bridgewater, that's the starter. There's no debate there because wherever he goes, he's going to want to be the starter. So I don't anticipate Bridgewater being in Chicago.
No. So, you know, let's do the same thing with the draft this time. So tell me who in this upcoming draft class intrigues you and who would you like to see Pace pursue? You've got 55 ticks.
Now, I want to give you a name that some of you might know, but maybe you don't. I love digging deep into the quarterback pool. His name is Cole McDonald, E-I-E-I-O. He's the quarterback of Hawaii. Now, I know a lot of Hawaii quarterbacks have put up big numbers that don't translate to the pro game, Timmy Chang, Colt Brennan, but I think this kid might be different. He's 6'4", 220 pounds, runs like the wind, has a huge arm, threw for 4,100 yards and 33 touchdowns this year, and he ran for another 7. Look at this kid's highlight. Type in Cole McDonald highlights in Hawaii. He has a lot of that Patrick Mahomes factor in him, improvising, pulling off push passes and throwing it with the opposite arm when he's being brought down, always looking downfield. He just glides down the field when he decides to take off. He runs like a deer. He's foregoing his senior year to go pro, so he's obviously committed to this. He's not even near the top 10 for a lot of analysts, so this could be a day 3 pick that they could maybe try to develop into something.
And if it happens, we have this recorded, so we could say that John said it first.
I love him. I draft him. He's got a because he's got some flowing hair. He's got some attitude to him. He's a punky guy. I like him.
There we go. You know, obviously they have you know, several needs that they need to address, like in the draft. You know, looking at cornerback, like what are they going to do with Prince Mukamara? You know, that's a big question. You know, is Kevin Tolliver going to be that guy that steps in, or you know? They should turn to the draft, I think. And there are some guys, obviously, I don't think Christian Fulton from LSU is going to be there when they come around. But Jalen Johnson from Utah is someone that stepped out. Or A.J. Terrell from Clemson. You know, if the guys like those fall to them in the second round, they do have those 2 second-round picks. I feel like, you know, you should be able to get a good cornerback in the second round. If they're there, go ahead and grab him.
Yeah, I honestly think as of right now, if I had to guess, that Mukamara probably won't be back.
Same. I would agree there. So we're going to stick on the topic of the draft, which is arguably the most important way a team should build their roster, obviously. So Danny Shuman, I'm sorry if I mispronounced, Ryan Bagley and Aldo will be down at the Senior Bowl next week to report for the Bar Room. So can you give those three guys 3 names of players that you'd like to see them scout as possible players that the Bears should consider?
I want to learn more about this John Greener kid, the outside linebacker from Florida. He could go early, but he also could slip. He's 6'3", 263, gets off the ball real quick, but he's had some injuries, which is why he could slip. He had 9.5 sacks this year, 50 tackles, 3 forced fumbles, and a pick. I think he could be a really good disruptor and might be a steal in the late second or third round, but I kind of want to know more about him. Also, Josiah DeGuara, I know I probably butchered his name, but I have watched him play. The tight end from Cincinnati, 6'3", 240. He has a lot of H-back qualities in him. I know that seems to fit the mold of a Matt Nagy system, something that they're hoping to get out of Trey Burton. I want to know if this kid's for real, though. 39 receptions, 7 touchdowns. It kind of fits that whole Nagy tight end mold. Last one. Keyshawn Vaughn, the running back for Vanderbilt. Maybe I just have a soft spot for bruising running backs, but he's 5'10", 215 pounds, average 5.2 yards per carry, just straight up runs over guys. So I think this might be something that they can be added to the running game in Chicago. They got David Montgomery. Obviously, they want him to be the main guy. You got Tariq Cohen, who's the scat back, who can catch the ball out of the backfield and do all the other stuff. But I want to see if they can get a big bruising guy. But he also had 29 catches this year, so it's not like he's a complete stoned hand running back. So Keyshawn Vaughn is another guy that I think that we can take a look at.
Definitely. And I'm going to be taking a look at the tight ends. So obviously, like Bryson Hopkins from Purdue, someone that, you know, obviously if he's there, I feel like the Bears should take him. I don't think Cole Kmet would still be there. And also Bryant Harrison from FAU, my alma mater. So I got to, you know, catch a couple of games. Nice. With watching FAU this year, and I feel like he's someone that is definitely running under the radar. I think that, you know, if he's there, I feel like I'm just interested to see how he's going to do, because I wouldn't mind seeing him in some navy and blue.
Yeah,
navy and orange. Oh my
God. Navy and blue. That's
navy and blue.
What an awful color scheme. What an awful color scheme. But getting back to the point, whenever you're a team that has a good amount of mid-round picks, these are the things you got to pay attention to, because there's the top 10 prospects, the first round projections, but the Bears, with the way that their draft picks kind of sort out, this is the stuff you got to pay attention to see who shines, who doesn't, and who you want to see on your roster. So this is an important time for the Bears scouting staff.
Absolutely, and it's a very important time for Ryan Pace. So yeah. Speaking of, Pace's contract was extended through the end of the 2021 season. So what do you think Pace needs to accomplish in 2020 to get him another extension so that he's not going through that awkward scenario in 2021? You've got 55 seconds.
Well, I think anything less than the playoffs is another complete failure. Everyone believes this team's window is open. Missing the playoffs obviously was a step back this year, but it should absolutely not temper expectations for 2020. You have the talent to make a run. You have the defense that can absolutely win a championship. And if I can be honest, I'm not worried about securing Ryan Pace's extension. That will come if the team performs. And if it doesn't, he probably has this year and next year, and then a whole other conversation might have to be had. So a good competitive season with no playoffs isn't going to do it. I'm way over those days where we felt that the Bears just put up a good fight and that was enough. That went when John Fox left. Now I'm about W's and L's. No more moral victories. No more lesson learning losses. None of that crap. It's time to either be a winner or a loser. This isn't an up-and-coming team that shows potential. This is a team that is expected to win now. So what does Ryan Pace need to do? Well, it doesn't get any easier to explain than make the playoffs. He doesn't necessarily have to make the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, although that's what we would all prefer. But I think postseason appearances will preserve him for now.
I might even take it a step further and say that not only does he need to make the playoffs, he needs to win a playoff game, at least one.
Well, that would be the next step, Abby. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And obviously, like, find some type of resolution at quarterback. You know, whether that's Mitchell Trubisky, if he miraculously becomes the guy that Ryan Pace traded up to get, or, you know, or if it's a veteran that he brings in or a young prospect that he takes in the draft. But there needs to be certainty surrounding the Bears quarterback heading into 2021. And I feel like if that's not in place, I mean, Pace just hasn't proven that he can do it.
Well, yeah, and I think there has to be some adjustments. And I think that, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit. They tweaked some stuff this year, but they didn't really get better at a whole lot of positions in the offseason last year, where they kind of just tried to let the machine run itself from 2018 into 2019, and it didn't work. So I'm interested to see across the board what they do to get better at positions, because you're getting better or you're getting worse. You just can't put it on cruise control and expect it to run itself. So I'm interested to see where it goes.
That's true. And I guess you could even say that they've started to do that with the coaching staff too.
Yeah, that we saw that. We saw that automatically when they fired some coaches and are bringing in other guys. So maybe that's an indication that, you know, things could be changing.
Need some more accountability up in here.
Yeah.
So for our last question of our season, or on our season finale here, I have for you, we're going to close our season. I want to offer you first my favorite moment from the season. And yes, obviously the Bears were just a complete disaster. And we talked about it every week, you know, just kind of complaining. And obviously it was well-deserving. Yeah. But there were some fun moments. So if I had to pick my favorite moment, I would just have to go, I'm going to go with a game, and I'm going to say the Cowboys game, because I feel like for one night, it felt like I was watching the Bears team that we were promised in 2019, the team that made the playoffs, that had won the division, went 12-4. They controlled that game. I enjoyed watching that team, both on offense and defense. You know, it felt like we could beat anyone if we played like that. You know, Trubisky looked like the prospect Ryan Pace thought he was. He was decisive. He was accurate in the pocket, and he used his mobility. And the defense, even without some starters, were able to shut down that high-powered offense. So I feel like just that Cowboys game, that's what I could replicate that for the entire season. Huh. You know, I guess that would be my favorite moment right there.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to go into my favorite moment, I have a couple. Hopefully, is the clock off? I don't have any time constraints on this.
The clock is off. You got it.
Okay. I guess I want to go back about 4 to 5 months. Do you remember how incredibly excited we were in August and September? I mean, I was so focused and lit up and ready for football. It was the 100th season. The Bears were ready to take a leap forward. That whole preseason leading into this exquisite debacle was just so fun, because we were all excited about Bears football. We were coming off the whole loss to the Eagles in the playoffs, but we knew that we had everything in motion, and, you know, this was going to be the year, and everything was on schedule. Now, obviously, that didn't come to fruition, but that whole month or 2 months or 3 months leading into the season was just so much fun, because there was so much hope. As far as in-season highlights, you know, the first Vikings game also gave us hope. Obviously, the Cowboys game was fun to watch. And now we're kind of just trying to find individual games that we felt good, as opposed to the entire season. But, you know, yeah, I know. So the only other highlight for me from this season was coming on this show every Tuesday night and interacting with a group of people that felt the same way I did. You know, the bar room was my best highlight of the 2020 Bears season. So I want to thank everybody for being my highlight and keeping me somewhat grounded through this just emotional roller coaster, not even a roller coaster, because it was going down most of the time. So emotional decline that was the 2020 Chicago Bears season. So thank you to everybody in the bar room for that. I also want to thank Lauren Cox for being our guest tonight. Remember, follow me on Twitter at JD Buffone. Reach out to me. Let's talk Bears. And if you're a boxing fan, reach out to me too. I love the sweet science. I love talking boxing. And make sure you're following the bar room on Twitter. Their handle is pretty simple, at Bears Bar Room, or just visit their Facebook page. Alyssa, tell our listeners where they can find your work and contact you on social media.
You can find my work over at bearswire.com, and you can follow me over on Twitter at Alyssa Barbieri. And John, for those listening live on our Mixler channel, I want you guys to stick around as Aldo Gandia fills in for Ryan Bagley and joins Danny Shuman to talk about how the Bears might attack the upcoming 2020 NFL draft and who they are scouting at the Senior Bowl. And a reminder that all of our live shows are available on podcast format. So make sure to subscribe to the Bears Barroom Radio Network.
That's right. And sign up on our Mixler.com channel for email updates on all of our live shows. We'd love to have you in our chat room. It's all absolutely free to sign up for. We hope you will join us live and interact with us. And if you listen to the podcast version, please leave us a review. That helps us out immensely. Alyssa and I are hoping to be back sometime for our first official 2020 show, even though this was in 2020, our first official 2020 show sometime after the free agent frenzy. We're going to keep you posted on that. But thank you all so much for listening and being such passionate Bears fans. This whole network's nothing without you guys. So I don't want to be the only one with this affliction. So thank you so much. We love you all. We hope to see you soon. Bear down, everybody.